Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the very first day of August, Anno Domini 2015. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Steve Ray.
It's not quite that bad.
Arr, matey, Steve
I don't
Ray
know.
And we're going to be bringing you news, use, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues, here comes the news. It is 6 minutes after the hour. Well, gee, what could we possibly have to talk about today? Oh, here's an idea. On Wednesday, Windows 10 finally started downloading on people's computers. Within the first 24 hours, over 14 million people got it. Sure, that's just a drop in the bucket compared to the 1.5 billion copies of Windows that have been sold, but the downloads continue. Microsoft plans to get Windows 10 into every user's hands eventually, so if you haven't got yours yet, just be patient. You'll get an alert notice on your computer once the upgrade has already downloaded, and you'll be given the option to install now or wait. The actual upgrade itself, not counting download time, took about an hour and 15 minutes on my laptop. It's an average power laptop, 1.7 to 2.4 gigahertz, 8 gigs of RAM. It does have the slowest hard drive I've ever used, and I know I owned an IBM PC, so your mileage may vary. The rollout began on January 29th as a free upgrade to every qualified device running Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 for a year, 365 days. On the day of release, Akamai reported that internet traffic was 35% higher than normal, with the upgrade being about 3.5 gigabytes in size.
Mm-hmm.
Here are just a few interesting things about the new Windows 10. We could, and I'm sure, will talk about it for months.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Here are just a few of the interesting things. My favorite part is the fact that it now has multiple desktops, which is something I've used on Linux for 15 years and cannot live without anymore. Windows apps, the little apps now open as Windows. On Windows 8, they took up the full screen. Just like they would on a tablet, but on Windows 10, apps work like a window, like a regular application. The start screen, thank God, is gone. Actually, it's not gone. It's hidden. With Windows 10, the start button functions kind of the way it did in Windows 7 and has a little bit of Windows 8 in it. The graphical part of Windows 8 is embedded in that start button, so it feels modern without making you chuck your old habits. You can still get a full-screen startup page. It's not forced on you. And if you just use Windows 7, then the Windows 7, if you just do it normally, it's like Windows 7.
So you still got the start button, and it shows you all the programs
right
along the left-hand side there, and they'll branch
right
off to the other programs within that subfolder.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what was the biggest complaint with
right
most folks of Windows 8, because
right
they missed that. They didn't want to do a relearning curve, and I can't blame corporate America for not wanting to do that.
That's exactly right. Well, they wanted everybody to buy tablets because the PC market is dying. People are going to tablets. So Microsoft thought they could force everybody to go to tablets.
And Windows 8 was optimized for a tablet. If you
right
didn't have
yeah
a touchscreen tablet, it was very hard to use.
Right. Internet Explorer is gone, replaced by Edge. You get some functional improvements, such as a virtual marker to draw circles or arrows on a web page, which you can share over email. They say it's not complete yet, and more features will be coming as time goes on. With Windows 8, your OneDrive files, that's Microsoft's cloud storage, were never stored on your computer, so if you were not in Wi-Fi range, you were out of luck. Windows 10 restores the approach of keeping copies of everything on your computer, unless you limit that because you're low on storage. So, should you upgrade? Personally, I don't think you should jump. Let somebody else get the bruises and the scars. Use the Get Windows 10 app to check for problems, and a couple of fiats for those who will get the low-end Windows Home version. Solitaire and Minesweep are both gone. You can buy them. Well, you can actually get them for free. They're still kind of there, but they nag you to purchase for $10 a year solitaire. Because, you know, it's not like you can't just find another version of solitaire. Even in the store, there's dozens of free ones. Minesweep, same thing. DVD playback is gone. You'll have to find a third-party program to do that, but that's the point. The thinking there is most laptops don't come with DVD players anymore anyway.
Played off the internet anyway.
Right, and Windows 10 Home upgrades will happen automatically. You won't get a choice anymore. And before you update, take at least two good backups.
And if you have a name-brand PC, go to their website for your model and see if there's any tips about Windows 10.
Right.
You may have to update drivers ahead of time. You know, there may be something that's not compatible.
Right. And well, so mine, as a matter of fact, I have an Asus, and the scrolling, the scrolling on the pad doesn't work anymore. Two finger scrolling. It is a touch screen, so I'm not missing it that much. And the keyboard lock, because the screen flips around the back. Turns it into a tablet, the keyboard doesn't lock anymore. There theoretically will be updates coming from Asus for that. They may be there already. Anyway, if it's not about Windows 10.
Yeah,
okay,
it is.
Go ahead.
This guy, Rob Linton, wanted to know, do we have to upgrade or can you keep Windows 7?
You can keep Windows 7 for another 360 days. If you upgrade within the first year, it's free. If you do not upgrade within the first year, it is no longer free, and I will guarantee you that very, very shortly after that free period ends, Microsoft will stop supporting Windows 7. They're not interested in you keeping Windows 7. So your best bet is to spend a couple of months letting somebody else be the guinea pig and then doing the upgrade once all the pain is out of the way. I upgraded the first chance I had because that's my job.
Yep.
Right, so, but you should probably wait, unless you don't mind getting your knuckles scraped, because that's what's going to happen.
One of the things that that we've suggested in the past is download the upgrade so you have a copy, but don't install it yet. Wait, you know, wait for the first patch, wait for everyone else to figure out the problems, but download it while it's free in case you forget.
Microsoft does have two download capabilities. One downloads it to an ISO, so you can burn it to a CD. The other downloads it directly to a flash drive. You have to have at least a 3 gig flash drive. Probably 4 is certainly better, and might be 6. Because one of the things you get to do is either the 32 or 64-bit version, or both. Anyway, our poll of the week at soundbites.org is Windows 10 is out, and your choices are... Finally, I'll wait, thanks. XP forever! And Win What Now? So far, we've got about 32 votes. And shockingly, Win What Now is winning. I really should have done this one more seriously. I probably should have not put in the humorous choices.
Why? That wouldn't be you.
Yeah.
Just to see what everybody thinks. Always, you got to add some levity to it.
Anyway, you'll have more to say about this. I know you will, so... if you scroll down on the right, you'll see the forums under Fascinating Stuff. If you select the second forum, that one will be the poll discussion. And at the moment, at least, the number one choice there is 1/15 August. Windows 10 is out. So, you'll have plenty to say there. Or, of course... You can just give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415, just like Wesley did from, where's this, Colbers, New York?
Colesville. Yes.
That makes more sense. What's up?
On Tuesday, I noticed a strange effect. I normally run... super anti-spyware once a day. And I usually wind up with getting 70 to 100 items to clear. Well, okay. On Tuesday, all of a sudden, instead of getting 100. I'm getting 1,000, 1,500 items. Any idea what's happened?
Oh, yeah.
You went to a particularly abusive website.
Or, yeah, and not a bad site, or we're not accusing you of anything. What we're saying is that the bad guys have been stepping up their campaigns. Many of them are putting out fake upgrade to Windows 10, do this before you upgrade to Windows 10, download and run this program before you go to Windows 10. Clearly, your antivirus program has blocked those for you. Congratulations. But now you still have to clear them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, too, though, is that I've seen on a few systems is depending on what other programs you have and are running, sometimes certain updates can erroneously report it as being bad, you know, giving a false positive, have you, until another update comes up, you know, but it. Like they said, it could also be that, too. I've seen it go both ways.
Yeah. It is most likely just junk that your AV has protected you from, but it's still in your system.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and clean it out. We've seen this anytime there's some sort of major update from Microsoft. The bad guys try to take advantage of that.
And we've been seeing that a lot lately over the last few months. Anyway, with fake virus warnings.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily need to be a shady website or a porn site. Some bad guy figured out, well, the good guys buy ads on Facebook and on Walmart and on you know, Target. I can buy an ad, too, that has fake content in it and hit all of those people. And
most of the ad companies are pretty good about keeping the bad guys out, but nobody is perfect. I run... On AskNick.com, I run Google ads, hoping to make a penny here and there. And every once in a while, a bad one gets through, and we just have to, you know, we report it to Google. They take it out, but stuff happens. So it's unlikely you went anywhere bad, but, you know, even and any street in America, bad things can happen. So even in the best neighborhood, so...
Well, we haven't been doing any unusual surfing. Sometimes hardly any at all. And it's almost every day.
Yep.
It's Tuesday.
Yep.
About 10 times as much, maybe 20 times as much items to be removed. It's weird. It's never happened before.
Well, as long as it's doing it, then you're protected, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, the good news is you're protected. What, like I said, what's actually going on is actually just the bad guys are... really hitting it hard because of Windows 10. Hoping to catch people. But it's not you. It's nothing you did. Just clean them out. You'll be okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Wesley.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's very frustrating telling people that. You know, well, how do I stop it from happening? Don't surf the web.
Yeah, don't turn your machine on. Yeah. Really, that's it.
You can turn JavaScript off, but then most websites die.
Right.
Because the good guys use JavaScript, so the bad guys have taken it over to use.
Right. So really the best thing is to just, as Wesley does, check regularly and see what happens in terms of making your machine safe by deleting all the bad stuff. It's a sad fact of life that when something good happens, assuming you put Windows 10 in the good category, the bad guys are going to piggyback on that. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we go back to the phones, I want to remind everybody that not only can you listen to us live, not only can you listen to the stream live, not only can you listen to the podcast after the show, but you can also watch us live on the air on YouTube. Just look for soundbites.org, all one word, and you will find us. We're live on the air right now, and we've got a few old shows back there as well. So you can see why you'd rather listen to us on the radio. once you see
we
us.
We have faces for radio.
We do indeed. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is our friend Linda from Greece, New York. Hiya, Linda. What's up?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, make it short. I had a stroke at the end of June. That's why I haven't been calling you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, yes, I am. Okay, Steve, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an iPad and an iTouch. On my iTouch, I did the upgrade. I waited. And every once in a while, not every day, it says, not Gmail not responding. imap.gmail.com. Check your settings. I haven't changed anything. It's only maybe about once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm. There's 100 million people ahead of you in the Gmail queue, and every now and then we see that happen.
What happens is this, Linda. When you go to any website for, well, anything, but also for mail, your system has a timeout in it. Your iPod Touch has a timeout in it that says if it hasn't responded in this amount of time, move on. That way you're not stuck waiting if a site is down or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or busy.
Yeah. And in this case, what happens is Gmail is very, very busy. And although Google has thousands of servers and millions of processors running Gmail, sometimes you still have to wait, particularly when a lot of people are downloading big things. And sometimes that wait is longer than the timeout in your iPod Touch. So you will get that message once in a while. All you do is wait a couple of minutes and try it again. You'll be fine.
Okay. That's very strange. But then on my iPad, I haven't done the update. And I thought, well, it's the same thing. Okay. Another thing. Remember I told you maybe several months ago that I got the new AC or AO router?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And remember I told you I couldn't get on my iPad?
Yep.
I went back to the N router, and I love it. The Netgear N router. This thing is so cool. I can get on everything now. I don't know what was wrong with that other one, but the N router, I can get on everything. And what I like about the Netgear is it gives you a password.
Right.
I mean, you know, it gives you a password where I don't have to think of anything. Why? Now, maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't. Why with the newer router, I was not... And something about Bonjour or something, wouldn't that be built into the new routers as opposed to the other ones? Because for some reason, I couldn't get on any of my Apple products. But right. Until I went back to the N router, I got on all my Apple products.
Bonjour is an Apple protocol that may not be implemented in the AO router.
Ah.
Or may not be implemented correctly or may not be turned on or whatever, whatever. But the point is, not every router is equal. And it sounds to me like the Netgear router is a better router. So you're better off being back to it.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought that was very strange because I thought, well, I'm going to upgrade, you know, because sure. I was on this website and they said, if you've had your router for, well, this is brand, you know, but the N router gives me no problems.
Yeah, stick with it. Not a problem. Stick with the N.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I missed you guys. I tried to get you when I was in the hospital, but it was kind of scratchy. So I thought, when I get out, I'm going to call you guys. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Nick,
I hope you're feeling better.
I'm on 1,500 milligrams of sodium. That's it.
Wow.
Try living on that.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, thanks,
okay.
Linda.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck. Have fun.
Yeah, one of the frustrating things about the error message you get from Google is it says check your settings for your username and password. And so the first thing you do is retype your password wrong.
Right.
And then it doesn't work even worse.
Right. And to be fair, the number one problem that we see and have seen for 40 years is people typing a comma instead of a period in the URL for the IMAP server.
Yep.
We see that so often.
Or STMP.
Or STMP, right. Or GMIAL.
Yep.
We see things like that, mistypings, far more often than anything else. So, really, they're playing the odds by saying, check your settings.
Yeah.
But sometimes it isn't the settings you can change, really.
Yeah, just,
I guess is the way to put that.
It just timed out. It tried for a couple of minutes, and it couldn't talk to Google, and so it gave up and said, I don't know what to do next.
Right. And in fact, you want it to time out, because like I said, you don't want to sit there and just wait forever and not be able to break out of it, because what if it was a different website and that site was down? You'd sit there forever. So it's better that it times out. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joel from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Joel. What's up?
Hi, guys. I wanted to share my experience with upgrades to Windows 10.
Please.
I usually do clean installs on my computers, but since I have a home server that does a complete image of every computer every night, I figured it was fairly low risk. I did three computers on Tuesday. I have never had a better experience with an operating system upgrade. Everything worked. I mean, I've got one computer. My main computer has a lot of programs on it. Everything that I tested works.
Good for you.
I was amazed. There's only one caveat that I found. If you use iCloud and Outlook, you have to turn the iCloud connector off and turn it back on in order to reestablish the connection. But other than that, all three computers are running beautifully. I think that Windows 10 is really going to be a winner. I just have been amazed with it. It's what I think Windows 8 should have been. It has all the features that you pointed out earlier, Nick, and I think it's just much easier to use, much more intuitive than, of course, Windows 8.
Well, I just want to
let you know that the updates went really, really smoothly.
Well, good for you. I'm glad that happened for you. I'm glad. Like I said, it went really smoothly for me, except for the special programs that Asus puts out, and apparently they just haven't caught up yet. So I'm going to wait a couple of days, check their website again. The scrolling from the trackpad doesn't work, but it's a touch screen, so I can scroll from the screen, no big deal. And turning it into tablet mode doesn't lock the keyboard, so if I put my hand in the wrong place, I type a character or move the mouse or whatever I do, and I just have to be careful of that.
Yeah, one other thing, if people have not reserved Windows 10 and, like me, want to get with it very quickly, you can always use the update tool, the Windows 10 update tool. Just Google Windows 10 update tool, and you can install it right away.
Right, exactly. But like I said, most people, I personally believe most people should wait.
Yeah.
There will be issues, there will be bruises and scars, and guys like us, that's what we do, and we're happy to be the pioneers, and we're happy to say, okay, the whole machine crapped out, we'll fix that. But
well, there always have been with every update so far.
Right.
But thus far, as you say, no arrows in my back yet.
Right. Right. Adam Osborne
thanks,
was the
guys.
Guy. Yeah, thanks. In the early 80s, Adam Osborne said, pioneers are the guys with the arrows in their backs. I realize that's not PC anymore, but the sentiment is true. And if you don't want to be that pioneer, then I would suggest you wait a bit before you upgrade. And, you know, most of the people I've talked to who are upgrading were Windows 8.1 users because they just hated 8.1. I mean, they just hated it with a passion. The Windows 7 users are mostly content to not upgrade yet. But seriously, my suggestion, wait at least, I don't know, what do you think, a month, 2 months?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, before you do the upgrade. Let it settle in.
Wait for the first patch to come out.
Yeah, exactly. Let it settle in before you get nuts, because there will be issues. There will be blood. And we'll see. All right, our next caller is our friend Bodan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bodan. What's up?
Thank you. Hey, I got a question, guys. What setting is it for that I can turn off either video clips or Java to run when I open up my Facebook page? For example, one of my likes is CBC News out of Canada.
Right.
And when that page loads, then I just have to sit there and wait for that video, which is attached to their page, to load. And is there a way either in the browser setting, which is Firefox, or somewhere that I don't need to have that video load and play?
Well, there is a setting in Facebook.
In Facebook
itself for not loading audio, not loading, disabling video audio. Hi.
Uh-huh.
I can't get to it at the moment. Because...
Yeah, we can't get to it. You can probably still copy the URL, though.
Yeah.
And
see, more settings. I actually have it open right now.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. We can't use Facebook here. So okay. I can't lead you to the page. But what Steve can do is put a link to the Facebook answer directly from Facebook themselves. And that will, yeah, Steve's going to do that right now.
And where do I find that?
On the Soundbites webpage.
Soundbites webpage?
Give it about 2 minutes and it should be the number one item on the page.
So it's not the browser setting, it's the Facebook setting.
Facebook has its own settings for turning off autoplay on video clips.
That's what I want to do, yeah.
Yeah, and you can do that, you can certainly do that in your browsers as well, but in this particular case, it's probably better
actually,
to do it directly.
I just found it. It's under video, under options and stuff, autoplay.
There you go.
Default. So, all righty, gentlemen, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Yeah, we don't have access to Facebook here, and that's, believe me, fine. Under normal circumstances. Twitter's doing it too now. Everybody's doing it. And you should be able to turn that off. A lot of people don't want to autoplay. If you're mobile or if your network connection is metered, which it almost always is for mobile, and for some of you listening at home as well, you don't want to waste time autoplaying stuff you may not care to see. I've boycotted websites that have autoplay on them for the longest time. I think it's intrusive and I don't like it.
Especially on your cell phone where you're paying metered cell rates and you're paying for that video to download and play.
Exactly. All right, our next caller is Dave from Macedon, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, I got a mouse that won't scroll. The little scroll button. Now, I've tried all kinds of things. I've changed the mouse with other ones. It works in my laptop. It doesn't work on my desktop. I've even put in a new USB card to see if that was it. And everything exactly the same.
And scrolling has stopped.
Yeah.
What is your operating
system? Okay. You know, when you pan across the screen, it'll just stop all of a sudden. And then it'll take off again.
Okay. What operating system are you running?
Windows 7.
Okay. What it sounds like is there's an issue with the driver.
Yeah, I've unplugged that, changed ports, reloaded drivers.
You've reloaded the driver?
Yeah, different mice, different drivers.
Different mice, different drivers, different ports.
Yeah.
And you're still having exactly the same problem.
Yeah, in a brand new USB card. See, the old one was built in. It was one of those PS2 ports. And a while back, the printer all of a sudden stopped. And I switched the port on the printer. It took right off. I had no problem with that. And I still don't have a problem with the printer. But this mouse is driving me nuts. I tried to load Unix like a year ago. Linux, rather. And I got as far as the little text that says you want to install it or run it off the CD, that kind of stuff. And I was a little chicken, so I tried to run it off the CD, and it loaded up. I had a little screen there, but the mouse wouldn't work. It would pan across and everything, but it wouldn't click. And I've tried it different times, and I'm still getting stuck. Sometimes I have just a black screen. And I'm starting to think maybe this problem is a video driver or something, or not the driver, but the card.
It is possible. There are a number of cards out there that share...
That's what this is. It's one of those built-in things that shares the RAM.
Yeah, and it may be interfering in some way. The only way you're going to be able to tell that is to buy a separate video card.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah, well, that's the only way to diagnose that.
Yeah.
That's one of the big advantages to taking your computer to a reputable dealer is they've got all that stuff just sitting around. So if they think, well, you know, it could be the video card, they can test it, and if that's what it is, you're done. But for you to do it, you'd have to either borrow or buy a separate video card. But that would be the next thing I would try personally.
Yeah. I was looking up for a video card, and they're not really expensive. I can get one, you know, $40, something like that, a cheap one, just to try it out. But they all say I need a bigger power supply. And maybe I do, maybe I don't.
Well, that I can't. I mean, you would have to, you know, I'd have to know everything that's in your machine and what power supply you have. But the reality is that, particularly if you bought a fairly low end desktop, it probably came with everything minimum. So it's certainly a possibility. Now, you may be able to get away with it as a test, but it would be borderline at best.
Right. Right. Okay.
Sorry.
I'll look into that.
Yep.
I guess. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
It's tough when you have those kind of diagnostics that you can't really do anything about. All right. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour. Soundbites. Member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And don't forget, you can join us not just live over the air, but also live online and live on YouTube. And then eventually later on in the archives. Stage fright is a nasty potential problem for a huge majority of the world's Android users. Stage fright is a core part of the Android operating system that is used to handle video and audio. The exploit, which Google has been notified about, will be detailed in full at the Black Hat Conference on August 5th and at DEF CON on August 7th. If your phone isn't protected by then, you may be vulnerable. What happens is this exploit works by downloading code via an MMS, or a multimedia text message. To prevent to prevent being infected, you must go to your SMS settings, either in your phone's SMS app or through Google Hangouts, whichever one you use. There will be an option there to auto-download MMS messages. Simply disable it, and your phone will not be able to execute the malicious code automatically. The downside of doing this is practically nothing. I mean, basically, if you trust someone sending you an MMS message, you can still get the data. You just have to click on it each time, tap on it. And you can just avoid accepting messages from people you don't know. That's the entire downside. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of inconvenience. And this this hole could potentially be disastrous. There's a risk involved, of course, in opening the message yourself. But without making that simple change, Google Hangouts will just execute it. And if there's an exploit in it, you won't even know that it happened, which is incredibly worrying, given that it could be possible for the code to access your camera, your microphone, read data from folders. So far, it's not clear what manufacturers are planning updates to take care of the problem. Google has known for a while. And while it appears to have fixed certain issues, not all have been addressed. There's also some indication here that Android has some problems that allow apps to run with administrative privileges when they shouldn't. The wider issue, though, is that with so many different versions of Android and various manufacturing implementations, it's quite hard to tell which devices are potentially being affected. Because if there's an issue, Google fixes it. And then, for example, on my phone, Samsung has to fix it. And then Verizon has to be persuaded to let it out into the open. So make the fix that I outlined. Just turn off automated SMS, automated downloading of SMS, and you can stop worrying. So have you made the stage fright fix? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. This is very like the one that hit Apple a while ago.
Yeah, the text encoding bug.
Right.
And if you're already infected by it, there's not much you can do yet.
Right. Things like
Lookout and other antivirus programs theoretically will handle it. The big thing, of course, is just protect yourself. And for the tiny little bit of additional convenience that you get out of auto-downloading MMS messages, believe me, it's not worth the risk. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is our pal, Al Mosier. Welcome, Al. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Sounds peachy. Good. How are you?
Good. Oh, so regarding the stage fright thing, I have to play the role of the newbie because I'm still learning all the ins and outs of the Samsung phone.
Oh, yeah. Which one did you get?
The 5S.
Oh, I love it. I have one. I love it.
Yes. Very, very happy. It's a wonderful toy.
Yeah, it is.
So with the stage fright, here's where I'm a little clueless or concerned. I went in to one of the messaging apps and turned off the automatic download of stuff. And
right.
That was fine. Now, is that good for everything, or it seems like I have multiple ways of getting messages into this phone?
Then you should fix all of them. Yeah, each one will be separate. So, for example, I do all of my messaging through the standard messages app. So I fixed it there, but if I ever were to turn on Google Hangouts on my phone, I would certainly want to stop auto-downloading of MMS messages there as well. Wherever you get your text messages, any app that you might use to get text messages, turn off automatic MMS downloading.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to keep it down to just the main.
Right.
Messaging tool that came with the phone, so I guess I'm good there. But, yeah, I saw Hangouts and a couple others, and I'm like, yeah, I really don't want to install them just for the sake of turning off that feature.
Well, if you don't even have them installed, then you absolutely don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Because they're not going to come to you. Now, you may get those, if you do Hangouts on your desktop or your laptop, the exploit may try to run, but since it's a phone exploit, it's not going to run anyway. So you don't have to worry about it on any device other than your phone. And if you don't even have Hangouts installed on your phone, you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Hey, can I throw in a different topic real quick?
Sure.
Under the heading of, this is probably going to be a select part of your audience, but for Canon camera users who use the EOS utility,
mm-hmm.
if they've suddenly had a problem with the EOS utility, which helps them download their photos into their PC and do other kinds of neat things, will they stop working for them? Check to see if they're using AVG. AVG is evidently recently, like in about 10, 15 days ago, came out with some release, and it specifically blocks the EOS utility from working.
Wow.
Canon's aware of it. AVG's aware of it. They're not announcing it, to my knowledge, a whole lot. But all you have to do is go into AVG and say, and tell it for this particular EOS utility file, ignore it. Life is good again.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess I should clarify. Canon knows about it, and they'll sort of point you in the direction of AVG, but they don't give you a lot of details because they don't want to be responsible for you disabling your antivirus software and whatever else might help.
Right.
That happens every now and then with most antivirus software. It disables a good program because its heuristics that try to find viruses it doesn't know about accidentally thinks this program might be a virus.
Yeah, and what's cute about this one is it's not just the people with newer Canon cameras and a newer version of the EOS utility. It looks like it goes back at least 3 years worth.
Wow.
So there could be a lot of people who are just tearing their hair out trying to figure out why a utility they've used for a long, long time has stopped working.
Well, you would think the easiest thing to do was, I mean, obviously, AVG wasn't having a problem with it before. So the easiest thing to do would be for AVG to put out a new antivirus definition that doesn't have a problem with it again.
Yep. Well, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Well, you make one tiny change, and who knows what the ripple effect is, so you got to test a million things. Making the fix is easy. Making a fix that doesn't have unintended consequences, that's very hard.
Yep. And back to your comments about let everyone else go first on Windows 10 and
yeah.
back and watch the blood. slow.
So. Yep, I'm enjoying it. I have to admit I'm kind of jaded. This is my, 50th operating system. I don't get excited by operating systems anymore. I just don't. But it's a good operating system. It works fine. It's no slower than Windows 8 was. I hate this laptop. It's just horribly, horribly slow. I suppose I'm blaming that on Windows in general, but who knows? Like I said, the hard drive is very slow. But it works. Everything seems to work, except the Asus-specific drivers. Everything else seems fine. I've played a little bit with Cortana. It's not Google Now, but it's good. It doesn't have the deep integration that Google Now has. Google Now will not only tell me I have an appointment in half an hour, but I need to leave in 10 minutes because the traffic is bad. And Cortana doesn't do that. So it's to me, it's second place. Oh, it heard me say, hey, Cortana, and it came up to talk to me. And now it's trying to figure out what I'm saying.
So everyone that has upgraded to Windows 10, sorry.
Yeah, your system just came out.
Just off.
Well, we've come a long ways from Apple IIs, all yeah. those.
Yes, we have, and not it's necessarily fun. For the better, but sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Take care.
Thanks. Yep. Bye-bye.
The guy that found the stage fright bug did the responsible thing and reported it to Google.
Immediately.
And got a bug bounty of $1,337.
Right.
Cool.
A lot of people save their bugs and exploits they find for shows where they can get more money. But there's a couple of tweets that went around that vulnerability dealers and exploit contractors said, they would have paid $100,000 for that bug if you'd have come to us first.
So that they could use it.
Yeah, that they could exploit it in the wild. So it's always frustrating that if a security researcher reveals the exploit immediately, the good guys have a chance to catch up. But we're seeing more and more researchers saving their bugs for a show to win more and more prize money.
Yeah, right, because there are a couple of shows every year. The Black Hat Symposium is one of them. And what happens is the people go there and talk about the exploits that they've seen or they've created or they've found, however you want to put that. And the basic idea is that they can get a significant amount of cash from actually selling them there. There's little auctions and things that happen in back rooms.
Yep.
Also, every year they have a contest. They put up a high-end Mac, a high-end Windows machine, and a high-end Linux box. And now they've added phones, both Android and iPhone, and I think Windows Phone as well. And an iPod Touch and blah, blah, blah. The first person to crack each machine wins it.
Ooh.
And these are $2,000 or $3,000 machines. We're not talking about Chromebooks.
Yeah.
Although there's a Chromebook as well. It's a Pixel, so it's a $1,500 Chromebook.
Yeah.
The basic point is, and the basic idea behind this is that you then have to tell what the exploit was so that the company can fix it.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people who save their exploits both to auction off in the dark rooms and to win the machines and the prestige in the light room. So that's coming up shortly, I think. This week, August 6th, I think it is, August 5th, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And so there will be more exploits being talked about. Unfortunately, even more exploits being not talked about and sold in the dark room.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a machine that has not been recently upgraded, And I'm not just talking about a desktop or a laptop. I'm also talking about your cell phone and your music playing device and your everything, Chromebook. I just did an update on the Chromebook today. Do it. Do the upgrades. Security upgrades, always do them. You want to wait on other upgrades, that's on you. I'm not going to speak to that at this moment. What I am going to say is you really need to make sure that your security updates are always, always, always up to date. That's very important. So make sure you do that. All right, this music tells me that we've wasted an entire hour of our lives on this show. And because none of us are that bright, we're going to do it again after the top of the hour. In the meantime, there's some very important messages you should listen to. But we'll be back after that with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 800-790-0415. And we'll be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with all of you. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported. It is Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 5 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Before we get back to the phones...
Yeah, I got a special request. As I was telling you guys off here, I've got an old friend back the Kodak days. His name was Leroy Smith, and his wife's name's Diane. Well, he called and left a message on my answering machine at the shop. It's an older machine, and I couldn't quite hear his phone number. So if anybody out there knows Leroy and Diane, if you would, just tell them to email me at dave@jazz901.org. I'd love to touch base with him because he was trying to hook up and, you know, meet him. Like I say, it's been decades since I've seen this guy, and I tried doing the Google searches and everything else, and it's like, you know, you put in Smith...
Yeah, right. That's the problem.
Yeah, right.
Well, and
I got better odds of getting hit by lightning.
Yeah, I've seen this phenomenon for decades. People are so familiar with their own phone numbers, yeah, they rush them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's 555555. What? It's what now? 555555. What now? You can listen to it 15 or 20. I'm always very careful. Five.
Yeah,
five,
slow.
Five.
We're older.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. me, I've got a hearing aid, so you know what? I'm more aware of that now. So when I do leave my number, it's, you know, I give it out very slowly. So folks can take the time to write it down. You know, it's just one of those facts of life of getting older.
Yeah. Yeah, you're old.
Yes, I am.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joan from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Joan. What's up?
I was naive enough. Download Windows 10.
Yeah.
And the download seemed to go very well. But I came to a screen that said, get going fast. And I'm not sure I know what that means.
It's a screen that says what now?
Get going fast.
Oh, yeah. That's just, okay. When you go to actually install Windows 10, you'll have two choices. One is to accept all of their defaults.
Okay.
Or the other is screen by screen by screen, you pick the defaults.
Which is a better choice, but much more tedious.
Much more tedious. And if you don't understand the implications, there's no point in using that anyway.
Okay. I think you've answered the question with that statement. I will not understand all the implications.
Right. Yeah. The only one that makes me a little angry is that it sets the new Microsoft Edge browser as your default browser.
And probably Bing is your default search engine.
And Bing is your default search engine.
Oh, Firefox is my browser.
Right. Well, you can go back in and fix that. We'll put some information up on our website at soundbites.org.
Okay.
As to how
Sorry. Yeah, usually the next time you launch Firefox, it will say, oh, I'm not the default browser. Do you want to make me the default browser?
Yes, that's step one. But there is also a step two, because Microsoft can ignore that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And so you also have to go into the settings and make a change. But we'll put up give us about 5 minutes. We'll put up a list of a post that tells you where to go and how to do that.
Thank you. That will be very helpful.
Well, enjoy Windows 10, Joan, even though you've jumped into it unwittingly.
Unwittingly is what I did. So, okay, thanks.
All right, have fun.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I imagine for the vast majority of people, that icon just popped up and they just said, okay.
Yep. And like I said, there's actually nothing wrong with it. The operating system seems to be installing well for everybody. The new features, you don't have to use. It looks a lot like Windows 7, so you don't have the 8.1 nonsense anymore. But there are some caveats. One is there are some things you might want to turn off for privacy. It makes Edge, which is not a finished browser, and Microsoft even admits that. Edge is not really a finished browser. It makes it your default. Bing is your default search engine. So like I said, you can go back and fix those things, but in order to fix them, you have to know where to go, because you not only have to tell your browser to be the default, which it will ask the next time you load it, but also then you have to go deep into the settings to a place that doesn't look intuitive and change it there. So
you can never keep things simple and easy.
Right. It's not impossible. It's not even difficult. You just need to know the secret, as with so many things now that nobody puts out manuals. You just have to know the secret. And Steve is going to put up a posting with a link to the secret. So you're on your way. But like I said, it's not, you know, I don't get excited by operating systems anymore. But it's not a bad one at all. One of the things I like most about it is that you can, just as you could on the old start screen, you can also move the tiles around. You know what? Here's my first Windows 10 tip. For those of you who do not own Microsoft Office and are looking for a version of Word and PowerPoint and Excel for your desktop or laptop, and are not using lives.com or whatever they're calling it this week. In the Microsoft Store, you can purchase Microsoft Office for, I believe it's $110 or some odd dollars a month. Alternately, you can download for free Word Mobile, PowerPoint Mobile, and Excel Mobile. All of which, as I said, are free and give you most of the features. You know, all the ones that, you know, the ones
common
that 90%
people use.
Yeah. 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 It's very much like running Word online or running the Google Drive stuff. 99% of you out there will be fine with those settings. The 1% will have to purchase the packages. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
If you're doing that kind of stuff, it's probably for business, and now it's a business expense, so shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, Microsoft has made their 365 subscription surprisingly affordable. For $99 a year, you get 5 PCs and 5 Macs and 5 tablets and 5 phones.
Yes. Yes. the deal there is, it's a great deal. Most people don't have five of those things.
But you might have two or three.
But you might have a couple.
So
absolutely.
Instead of paying that $150 for each computer.
Right, right, right. Or like I said, you can use the mobile versions for free.
Or LibreOffice for free.
Or LibreOffice for free.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Wayne from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Wayne. What's up?
Hey, guys, just giving you some feedback on our conversation from a couple of weeks ago. I was looking for the ultimate upgrade for my Nexus 7, and I found it's a new Asus ZenPad S8. It has 2 gigabytes of RAM, 32 gigabytes of storage. It's expandable with an additional 128 micro SD. Has Lollipop 5, high resolution 1536 by 2048. It's fast, and it's $199.
Really?
It's wow. Absolutely awesome. It's everything I really like the Nexus 7, but it's everything. I always wanted to have an expandable storage, and that has that, and it is phenomenal. And it's more. I was looking more for. It has Lollipop 5. They added a whole bunch of apps, but nothing that really changes the interface or gets in the way. I absolutely love it. It was an Asus ZenPad S8. Just
and you're
came
right,
out.
It's available for $200 at one of our local big package stores.
Yeah, and I actually tried before that. In both of these, I happened to catch like the day after they came out. I also tried a Lenovo Tab 2 A8 8-inch. So they're both 8-inch tablets, so I can hold it in my hand. It's $129. I thought it was really nice. It was probably good for most users. It wasn't as responsive as the Nexus 7 was, but a heck of a lot cheaper. The big problem I had is I have a couple of business apps that I have to use. And if you go to a web page, if you see like a button you need to click on, you click on the button, and it wouldn't be terribly responsive. So a couple days later I found this, and folks at Best Buy were gracious enough to allow me to return exchange, and I'm happy as a clam.
Excellent. Now, in terms of form factor, how close is it to the old Nexus 7?
It's a little bit wider and a little bit shorter.
Oh, interesting.
That's a good point, because if you're getting a tablet and you want it so you can watch little videos on it, videos work fine, but I think it's like a 4x3 or something like that instead of 9x6.
Yep. I'm more interested in reading books, so it sounds like it's a little bigger than a paperback.
It's a little bit bigger. I could still hold it in my hand, but I have a big hand. Using an e-reader, using the Kindle app.
Yeah.
I actually find it easier to read than I did the Nexus 7. It gives a little bit. It's a higher resolution screen than the Nexus 7. Believe it or not.
Wow.
I absolutely love it. As far as videos, at that form factor, when you turn it horizontal, you get a little bit of extra black lines because it wants to make it into
high def, right?
Yeah,
high def
mode. But it's still great, and the resolution is great. And my top priority is being able, just like you, to be able to read ebooks on it. So nice. I am very happy.
Probably won't fit in my pocket, but I suppose I can give that up if I have to.
Depends how big of a pocket you put in your pocket.
Excellent. Thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you about my quick experience with Windows 10 so far. Working really well. Before I forget, they actually did recently add, and I haven't found it yet, but they did put an app in there for DVD playback. So they've added that functionality back. It's not the full
media experience. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but it has an app that they've added back for DVD playback.
Right.
I'm installing it on my main machine right now. I haven't seen it on that yet, but I did put it on an 8-year-old Lenovo tablet. And Nick, just like you, the one I've had two issues with it. I mean, it's working great otherwise, but trackpad doesn't work.
Right.
But I actually, the only drivers for that old laptop are old XP drivers, and it actually works.
Wow.
It works great. The other thing I found is, and if people are finding this on, and I did this, I was running the the beta versions of it also. And I had the same problem intermittently with Windows 8. The old Wi-Fi card in there doesn't like to power down when it goes into sleep mode. So if you go into control panel and you just shut off allow to power off, you turn that off. Because I would install it, Wi-Fi would be great until the system went into sleep mode and it would come back and it wouldn't wake up and you couldn't no matter what you tried to do to reset it, the only thing I could do to reset it was reinstall the operating system. So that was the solution for that. So I'm really pleased. I think Windows 10 is going to be great. That was my test. If I could make it work on the laptop, I could make it work on anything because it's already 8 years old.
Well, it sounds like you've done some thorough working with this thing, and I'm delighted to hear it. Like I said, I think Windows 10 is going to be a winner. Windows 8 was not for me, personally, but 10 I think will be.
I liked 8, but I must admit, I like 10 a lot better. I think it'll be an easier transition, particularly if you've been around 7. And but I'm with you. I mean, I'm a tinker. Obviously, I've been playing with the beta, the trial versions as they've been coming out, but I would recommend people wait a little bit, but I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Right, and you may have talked me into a ZenPad S8. I'll need your home phone number for when my wife needs someone to scream at.
Oh, I don't tell her it was me. one thing. Also, Microsoft announced that, I forget what the knowledge base number is, but they've added a thing for Windows 10. My biggest concern was not so much of getting automatic updates, because, well, if you're running Pro, you can delay the installation.
Right.
But if you get a bad driver, I actually had a driver for my video card that with one of the beta versions, and they've added this, and they don't appear to be well publicizing it, but it's a knowledge base article. It's an add-in that they put in that will allow you to selectively block installation of drivers and the thing that they've removed the ability to do. And because the public outcry, if you get a bad driver, you're sunk. You're done.
Yeah.
You're not much you can do. Even if you're religiously doing having it automatically update, you got to be able to block those out. So I think they do that one thing, I think we'll be good.
All right. Thanks so much, Wayne.
Hey, you all have a great day.
You too. Have fun. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29. No, it's only 20 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I try to get in before that goes up. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And I think Wayne may have actually sold me a ZenPad. Well, it'll give me a chance to put on pants on Monday. And a reason to put on pants on Monday. I'll go down and check it out at the Best Buy there. I've been looking for a new tablet. I have a beautiful 10-inch tablet. It's a low-end Lenovo 10-inch tablet. They make some very high-end and a couple of low-end ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice, but it's too big to read on.
Oh, okay.
You know, because I do a lot of reading of e-books.
Yep.
And it's just too...
Wait a minute. Haven't you also written a few?
I have. I have written two books
so
far. And
what, pray tell, may they be?
Well, pray tell. I have written a... thank you for asking. I have written two books. One is called Google Docs, Word Processing in the Cloud. And the other is called Help, I Just Bought a Chromebook.
Cool.
And both are available at Amazon.com. You can do an author search for me, Nick Francesco, and purchase them. They're inexpensive and good, I think, beginner's guides. If you're already super knowledgeable about either Google Docs or a Chromebook, it's not for you. But if you're the sort of person who's looking to get involved with either of those things,
yep,
it's a perfect read. They also make excellent gifts. And I believe every one of you should just download them for the hell of it.
There you go.
Personally, frankly.
Well, to check them out.
Well, not download it, buy it. Well, with downloading it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, get it now to test it out, to make sure, you know, that you never know. That list of folks that you might want to give it to.
That's right.
Might grow.
That's exactly right.
Just learning from what you've learned off, say, Google Docs. Because Google Docs is unbelievable.
I love Google Docs. I really do. I use it for everything now.
And you save everything out there, and it doesn't use up any of your storage space.
Yep.
What gets better than that?
Yep, it's great. I have over 15,000 documents in it, and writing more every day, and it's great. And
you don't get charged for the space.
I wrote these two books in it. You know, mm-hmm. So clearly you can do a lot with it,
right?
More than you would even think. I'm very pleased with the capabilities of it. There are a couple of minor annoyances with Excel, with the spreadsheet package, but there are some very cool things in the spreadsheet package that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And Google has a whole series of functions that include today's. To include the current stock quotes and everything else, so I can put a portfolio together and then do all kinds of analysis on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty nifty. It's really pretty nifty. It's all free. And of course, there's a macro type language with it, a programming language that comes with it. So you can do all kinds of neat things with it. Thank you. Both of those books, by the way. Links to them are available on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And in light of somebody's Jones call, I think it was. Yeah, Jones call about Mozilla. If you're one of the millions of people who've already upgraded to Windows 10, you've probably noticed that the OS changed your default apps. Your main browser, for instance, suddenly became Microsoft Edge after the upgrade, something Mozilla finds disturbing, especially since the platform actually made it trickier to switch back to Chrome, Firefox, or any other browser. In an open letter to Microsoft's head honcho, Satya Nadella, Mozilla's CEO, Chris Beard, revealed that he got in touch with the Windows 10 team when it got wind of the change, but that didn't result in any meaningful progress. Beard wrote, "The update experience appears to have been designed to throw away the choice your customers made about the internet experience they want and replace it with the internet experience Microsoft wants them to have. It's still technically possible to preserve people's previous settings and defaults, but the design of the whole upgrade experience and the default settings APIs has been changed to make this less obvious and more difficult. It now takes more than twice the number of mouse clicks, scrolling through content, and some technical sophistication for people to reassert the choices they had previously made in earlier versions of Windows. It's confusing, hard to navigate, and easy to get lost," which is why Steve has put up a link to resetting Firefox as your browser. And the same thing works for Chrome, just substituting Chrome for Firefox in that. Now, in order to switch your default browser, you need to tick the checkbox setting that asks if you want to make Firefox or Chrome your default the first time you launch either. Then you have to find web browser in the settings page that pops up. Click the Edge icon. This is the part that's tricky. It says, what do you want as your default apps? And it shows your word processor and your email program and your browser. And the only browser there is Edge. What you have to do is click on that, and then it will drop down a list of the other browsers that are on your system.
Nope.
It's, if you don't know that, you look at it and think, how do I change it? But it is changeable. It's hardly intuitive, but it is changeable. Microsoft stands, of course, by its decision and said it will only change features and aspects of Windows 10 that users don't like. That's not entirely true. Nobody likes having to pay for Windows, and many people will have to. Nobody likes having to buy a subscription, and people will have to do that as well. Anyway, what's your favorite browser, and why? Ha ha! Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. 966-5299. Or toll-free at 800-790-0415. And that's how you leave a phone number for somebody and then repeat it.
Yeah. You know what? This being August, I mean, the year's already half over with.
Shut up.
And.
Shut up.
I know. One, it, well, it's a couple things.
More than half over.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Next month, well, especially, well, 30 days from today.
Yeah.
This starts September, and we go into our 26th year.
That's exactly right. Also, birthdays happen for all of us.
Yeah.
All four of us. You, me, Steve, Soundbites.
Yeah. All four of us are September birthdays. Yeah.
It was really cold winters.
Yeah, really cold winters. Well, we're Christmas babies, let's face it.
Yeah, well, my first birthday, though?
Yeah.
What did I get? A sister.
Nice! Not
I couldn't return it.
Right,
I was
right.
Talking to my friend, I said, yeah, you know, most kids, you know, she goes, do you really remember your first birthday? I go, no, but it's the principle of it.
I have a friend who always, always cried on his birthday as a kid because he had to share it with his sister. He hated it. He hated it.
Well, my brother...
All his other brothers and sisters got... And, of course, the sister was the same way,
mm-hmm.
right? All the other brothers and sisters got their own special day.
Mm-hmm.
He had to share his with his sister.
Well, that's...
She had to share hers with him. They both hated it.
Well, my mother did the same thing. She'd sit there and do a big sheet cake.
Yeah.
You know, a big cake. One half was David. The other half was Deb. And, you know, as far as birth, you know, it's a year apart, and I think the times was only like 20 minutes difference
wow.
from when I was born.
Like clockwork then.
Yeah. Good Catholic family.
Good Catholic family.
Well, my dad's one of 19.
Yeah.
You know, and a friend of mine, you know, it seems like wherever we go, I'm running into, I'm running into families. You know, you got them everywhere. So I go, yeah.
Well,
when
yeah.
you come from this big of a family.
Yep.
You know, it's just the way it is. And
I know.
You know, they talk about zero growth population, ZPG, zero population growth. Yeah. I'm negative population growth. I'm an only child. My daughter's an only child.
Mm-hmm.
So we're cutting it in half as fast as we can.
I know several people that have birthdays around Christmas and New Year's. My sister's on the 29th, and a lot of them would celebrate their birthday in June.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't get lost.
But the unbirthday.
My sister was so mad that the birthday present came wrapped in Christmas paper.
Yep.
But you try buying birthday paper at Christmas time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my dad was the day after Christmas, the 26th. Yep. It's like, how to get hosed that way, you know? They just take one of his Christmas gifts. Yep. My grandmother told me she'd once in a while just take one of his Christmas gifts and put it on.
Instead of aside happy, for a birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Exactly. My sister-in-law is the week before, and God bless her family. They were always, always clear. This is a birthday party for Marcia and has nothing to do with Christmas a week from now. You know, so they were very good about that. So she never felt left out. But a friend of mine, Richard Howland Bolton, who now lives in, Texas? I don't remember.
Okay.
I should know this. Always personally thanked me that America was so generous to celebrate his wedding day with fireworks every 4th of July. He's from England. So he said, I've come to America and look what they've done. Of course, he's now divorced that woman and moved on, but apparently it was just too much tension for him, I think.
Too much pressure to...
Pretty sure. But yeah, so yeah, we have Windows 10. If you've got a Windows 10 question, it's just come out, so we don't have a lot of in-depth information. I brought my laptop here with Windows 10 on it. I've been playing a little bit with Cortana. It's okay. Like I said, it doesn't have the integration that Google Now has, and I haven't used Siri much at all. But as Steve was saying, Google knows everything about us and can integrate it all together very, very nicely. But we're going back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, guys. I'm actually calling with some information.
Oh, good.
A friend of mine, Facebook, he logged on to Facebook, and all he had was the blue bar across the top. He couldn't see anything else on his Facebook page.
Okay.
We did some online research, and someone suggested going to incognito mode, and believe it or not, that worked.
Interesting.
If he was in incognito, he could see his entire Facebook page, but he had to be in incognito.
Right.
He actually serendipitously figured out or found out what the problem was. He also liked to comment on, go to SI.com and make comments and post them to Facebook. Well, what he had redone his account, and let's say he lied about his date of birth.
Uh-huh.
On SI.com.
And they didn't match now.
And they didn't match. And so when he went to his Facebook page, all he got was the bar across the top. When he went back to the SI page and found a more truthful path.
Yeah.
He went right next time he went to his Facebook page, everything was fine.
Interesting.
I would have never found that connection. It was serendipitous.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have either, I admit it.
But if you run across similar type of things, if someone posts to Facebook, make sure that things align properly.
Interesting. Facebook has always been fairly draconian, I think is the nicest way to put this.
I do, too. I think that's kind of you.
Yeah, thank you. About real names, real birth dates, a lot.
Yeah.
Which, of course, has caused a lot of issues in the past. People want to use their stage names.
Yeah.
People want to use their legally changed names. People want to hide from abusive spouses.
Yeah, that's a legitimate one, if nothing else.
Right.
Or the nickname they've had for 40 years.
Or the nickname they've had. I wouldn't want my nickname from 40 years ago, but that's another story for another day. It's not actually a bad nickname at all. But I hardly ever had a nickname.
Hey, you.
No, I knew what my name was from my mother. I absolutely knew that. Not something I can repeat here, but let's say I was close to God for most of my childhood. So Facebook gets pretty draconian about it.
One thing that I found on Facebook, and I did this, and it worked wonderfully. When you sign up, you get to pick a name.
Yeah.
Pick something very unusual.
Yeah.
So when you want to say, you tell your friend to find you on Facebook, look up this unusual name. You're the only one.
Yep. Okay, we got to take a break. That's what the music tells me. Thanks.
Yep.
Back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And I neglected to mention we are on Glorious HD on YouTube now. Steve has a different camera. Well, actually, if you look at last week versus this week, the colors
noticeable
are much nicer.
Difference.
Yeah.
Colors are much nicer. The picture is better.
We don't have to squeeze together so close.
We don't have to squeeze, although I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Wait a minute. Let's clarify some here, folks. I am on the other side of the counter from those two. But remember when we used to have to sit together, though?
I remember that. When we looked into another room.
Yeah, and then...
And the guy who was answering the phone... Rob Litton, ladies and gentlemen.
He used to have to get up on his step stool so we could see. Yeah. He could see over the top of the board and look at us because he was such a young kid.
Yeah, no, we had, he could do it. A couple of the others could not, however. Unfortunately, I'm on the air right at the moment, but hold on. We were all in one room and he was in another room, which meant he didn't have to whisper.
Yeah.
When he answered the phone.
Yeah, it's like I do. I had a couple other callers, too, that when they call, and we've said this before, I probably from time to time should mention it. When you folks call, if you've ever, matter of fact, our next open house, if you have a chance.
Want to mention this on the air? Is that what this is for? Sure.
Come in and see our studio, because there's, you know, the three of us in this small studio, and... They're right. Nick and Steve are literally maybe 3 feet away from me.
Right.
So when you folks call, I have to talk low. But you know what? You folks don't have to. When you do call, speak up. Because just because I'm talking low doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
Because I sit there and say, what? Because I still had to talk low. Speak up, please, and then that way I can hear your names. Because I had one gentleman there. I messed it up. Matter of fact, it was the first call. I couldn't hear his name fully and where he was calling from. I only caught bits of it.
Right. You can shout at your end.
Yeah. Shout all you want. You know, I can, you know.
What's the old Kurt Vile song? Speak low when you speak love. Something like that. George, I beg your pardon. We had a little confusion here, George. Was kind enough to give us a notice that the German Fest is next week. Maybe we'll see you there. It should be a fun afternoon.
Where is it?
He'll speak about it more on his show.
Oh, okay.
So just stay tuned. He'll tell you more about the German Fest. But it should be a fun afternoon. And they have beer, so I don't know how that's bad at all in any way, shape, or form. So that's good. I don't know. There's a couple more things here to read about. My favorite one is Facebook is launching solar-powered internet planes with frickin' laser beams on their heads. They started a nonprofit organization called Internet.org with the goal of eventually bringing internet access to the 60% of the world, about a billion people without a connection. On Thursday, they announced two major milestones on that mission. Facebook's Connectivity Lab has prototyped a full-scale, solar-powered aircraft, as well as lab-tested, a laser that can deliver data at tens of gigabits per second. Which is not as fast as I get it from Greenlight, but certainly faster than you're getting it. Together, the two... that could be used to transmit.
Just rub it in. We know, you know. I know we were awful smug, kept bugging you and teasing you that Greenlight was going to pass you by, but now that you got it,
I'm gloating.
You just got to dig it in a little deeper.
I'm gloating. Get over yourselves.
Gloating.
Yeah, the download.
I'm going to have to bring in my sunglasses.
The download for the ISO version of Windows 10 took like 20 minutes. It was ridiculously fast. About 10% of the world's population live in locations where it would not be cost-effective to build internet infrastructure on the ground like cell towers, microwave repeaters, or fiber optic cables. Comparatively, flying laser-equipped planes would be much more economically feasible. Our intention is not to build networks and then operate them ourselves, but rather to quickly advance the state of these technologies to the point where they become viable solutions for operators and other partners to deploy, Facebook wrote in a blog post. The company's aerospace team in the UK built the plane, which it calls Aquila. Aquila has, which is a Latin for eagle, has the same wingspan as a Boeing 737, but it weighs a third as much as an electric car. The wings are made of a cured fiber, carbon fiber that is stronger than steel, but as light as aluminum. Hypothetically, the solar-powered craft will be able to fly for 90 days straight with a 30-mile communications radius. Facebook has said that the longest known flight of a craft like this has previously been in only 14 days. Ideally, Aquila will fly at between 60,000 and 90,000 feet during the day, which is above commercial air traffic and the weather, in a region where free space optical communications are possible. The planes will fly at that height and then be able to use their lasers to connect to each other and the ground. Facebook said its test flights for the full-scale model should begin later this year. It already held smaller-scale test flights earlier this year in the UK. The laser communications team, which is based in Woodland Hills, California, has designed and tested a laser that can deliver data 10 times faster than anything previously out there to tiny targets the size of a dime from more than 10 miles away. Holy moly. When you bring a road to a rural area, it really improves people's lives, said Facebook's Hamid Hamadi, director of laser engineering. Similarly, when you bring the information highway to a place, it will really improve their livelihood. Facebook says that it still has a long way to go, but the team is excited by the early progress. So what do you think of it? Laser drones for internet access. Still got a minute or two to give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
It's a neat idea, but I'm a little worried about Facebook doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's not just, Facebook doing it is an issue. Equally, I think there's a an issue with, you know, drones flying all over with laser beams in them. But they're communication lasers, not really let's burn through steel lasers, I suppose. Yeah. That's it. But when you mix that with something like Project Loon from Google and a couple of others, the possibility of rural and beyond rural, deeply rural internet access is a very, very viable alternative. Now, of course, the next thing we'll see is the Facebook drones laser shooting down the Google balloons from Loon, and it'll be the communications wars of the 21st century. We'll see those starting up as well. But I love the idea. The more people who have internet access, the better off we all are. Assuming people use it to actually expand their minds instead of the alternative, it is a beautiful thing to have that available to you. There are a lot of kids today who are deprived of the ability to move ahead as quickly as some of their counterparts because they simply do not have access to the internet. And knowing that they are, that the possibility exists that they will be able to do their homework and do their research and play games and socialize with other kids from far away. What a great thing that is. I mean, when I was a kid, I had a half a dozen pen pals, and they were great. But wouldn't it be cool, in fact, there are a couple I still keep in touch with, and it's very cool to be able to actually talk to them. Somehow they've all gotten old. I don't know how that happened. Well, thank God it didn't happen to me. But the reality is, rather than, you know, a pen pal and writing a letter and waiting days, you can actually catch
FaceTime up. FaceTime them.
And nowadays, so many people are doing, you know, FaceTime or Hangouts or whatever on their phones or their tablets that they can be walking around and giving you basic video tours. Amelia rarely calls anyone. She does Skype calls with people. And so they're all face-to-face. Yep. And sometimes those people are on their phones. Sometimes those people are on their tablets. Some people are, you know, on their laptops or desktops. But it's a more intimate form of communication when you can see the person.
Well, like I've said, that has been one of the biggest saving things for a lot of our military. You know, to be able, because like you say, tablets are so cheap. With the satellites, they can hook up through Skype and see their family members back at home and keep that contact. You know, like you say, it's not the old days, like, oh, send off a letter and you hear back from your husband how long it ever takes to, you know, catch up with him wherever he's stationed.
Yep. And my daughter can, when she was at college and didn't come home for a couple of vacations, we could Skype with her, and, you know, she could see the cousins that she hasn't seen in a while, and yep. and tell her aunt how much she loved her new earrings and things that you just, that makes it a more personal and intimate experience than it would be just writing a letter. Well, that music tells me that you've wasted 2 hours of your life, so we're going to give you 166 more to just relax and get your breath back so we can do this all again next week. But don't go away, because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow as much as that's humanly possible. And we'll be back next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with all of you. Thank you very much for listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. And if you want to know more about the German Fest, of course, just keep listening, because George is going to tell you about it. And we'll be back next week. Have a great week, everybody. See you in 166 hours.